I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We're in the midst of the Vancouver 125 celebrations throughout the city, marking the 125th anniversary of Vancouver. A great way to mark the birthday is to see the show being staged by the local Pi Theatre Company. Visions of Vancouver is a work showcasing four short plays written by five Vancouver playwrights, each of whom expresses their idea and vision of Vancouver. Joining me now is Pi Theatre's artistic director, Richard Wolf, who directs this show, which debuts the 5th of October in previews and opens the Thursday, the 6th of October, with performances from the 6th to the 8th, the 10th to the 15th at 8 p.m., with performances on the 9th and the 15th at 4 p.m. It's happening at CBC Studio 700 on Hamilton. Tickets can be had at vancouvertix.com, and more information, of course, at their website, pietheatre.com. Mr. Wolf shall tell us about the pieces written by playwrights Adrian Wong, Michelle Rimmel, and Michael St. John Smith, Dennis Foon, and Kevin Loring. The piece reflects on this place and perhaps gives us a sense of who we are. The world premiere production is inspired by the style of old-time radio broadcasting created for an in-studio audience and performed live and recorded for internet podcasting. Please welcome to the Planta Online program Richard Wolf. Good morning, Mr. Wolf.
Good morning, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us. How long is this show?
Well, it's actually comprised of four short plays, sort of in the spirit of New York, I Love You, or Paris, Je T'aime. These kinds of short films that meditate on a theme. I don't know if your listeners remember Night on Earth. That was a series of stories that take place around taxi drivers in different cities around the world. But that kind of short meditation has always been interesting to me. And this Visions of Vancouver is like that. So there are four short plays. Each of them are about 17 minutes long. And they run back to back for a total of about an hour and 15 or an hour and 20 minutes with no intermission. So it's a nice compressed kind of view or exposure or investigation, if you will, into the place we call home, which is Vancouver.
And do these pieces, do they have a common theme other than being, I guess, about Vancouver?
Well, these pieces were commissioned from the four playwrights, well, five actually. There are four pieces, but Michelle Rimmel is writing with Michael St. John Smith, so their piece is co-written. The other three, Dennis Foon, Kevin Loring, and Adrian Wong, each write a piece. And when I commissioned them, I didn't want to put a lot of restrictions on their creative process. So I just asked them for their response to Vancouver, this place called Vancouver. Cities are very interesting that way, you know. Our city's made up in the metro area of 2.2 million people. And, of course, each one of these, so cliche, there are 8 million stories in the naked city. Well, mm-hmm. It's true, and yet we call ourselves Vancouverites, and we do share something, whether it's a civic pride or a kind of point of view. We share the weather. We share our responses to the weather. Makes up a good 50% of our conversation sometimes,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to put too many restrictions on their creativity in that sense. So those kinds of their shows are really coming from their heart.
How involved are the playwrights in this production? Like, are they there at rehearsal? How does that work?
They are. We have, yes. It was a series of workshops originally. They submitted the scripts in various forms. I had conversations with the playwrights, and then we brought in actors at the beginning of the summer to do a series of workshops with the playwrights present, so that they could hear their work being read. You know, come off the page. Plays are a lot like pop-up books in a sense, and when they lie flat on the page, you can interpret them, but when you hear them read, you get a much more clear sense of what they are. And then we had a second week of workshops as well in August. And then we started rehearsal about a week ago. And we have a concentrated rehearsal period where the playwrights are invited, you know, they're welcome anytime, but of course there's a very kind of a methodical kind of working process in the early days, but they're all going to come back in the final week of rehearsal to hear what we've done up to that point and hear the play, their plays with fresh ears and make comments then, you know, give us their feedback then as well. So they're very integrated into the process.
So let's walk through these pieces here. The first one, at least on the in the stuff that I've read about the show, is Elevate by Adrian Wong.
Yes, Elevate is Adrian's response to tower living. She actually recently moved into a Yale Town tower, and she'd never really lived in a building of that kind before. So Elevate is her story about, you know, it's fictionalized, of course, but a story about a woman who moves into a tower and feels that ironically, even though there are 300 people in the building, she's more isolated and she feels more alone than ever in any other living situation. And her character actually is also new to Vancouver. Now, Adrian's lived here a long time, but in the play, the character's new to Vancouver, and she feels the city itself is quite cold, and certainly the building is quite cold. You have to fob your way into the front door, then you have to fob your way up the elevator, and then, you know, everything is locked off. You can't get to other floors unless you're accompanied by somebody who lives on those floors. And she meets people in the elevator, you know, where this is common to all of us, and we'd kind of stare forward, and we don't really want to interact. And she talks in the play, her character hears a dog barking down in another floor, and that's her first point of contact with life, a dog that's lonely, her master's out, and the dog is barking kind of into the night, and it kind of reflects how she feels. So it's a charming piece about life in a Vancouver tower.
Where do you live, Richard? What part of town?
I live near Main Street, actually, in a duplex. So I haven't. I'm a renter, and so is the character in the tower. And one of her interactions is with an owner. And you know, I guess there is a certain culture within a tower. You have the owners and you have the renters, and you know, they certainly have their distinct statuses inside these situations. But I can walk downtown over the Cambie Bridge in probably 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of living in Vancouver. I've lived here my whole life. I'm at Fraser and King Edward area. Mm-hmm. That even though, you know, you 6 blocks over, it's a different sort of community altogether, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. We have these wonderful neighborhoods, which I really enjoy. I mean, the downtown Vancouver, which of course is now, with the development around False Creek, is feeling more like False Creek is just part of downtown. And in fact, you know, where we are, where you are, where I am, even Kitsilano, it's all seems to be kind of fusing together in a certain sort of way. But at the same time, each neighborhood is really distinct. And that's one of the real pleasures of living here, I think. It feels like we're living we are living in a city, and there's a lot to offer.
Were you born in Vancouver?
No, I was born in Saskatoon.
Yeah. What brought you here?
I was accepted into the MFA program at UBC. I was living in Halifax at the time, actually. And it's a program that accepts a couple of people a year, and I was really fortunate to be accepted. So I packed up the car and drove from Halifax to Vancouver and unpacked and haven't left, and that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, and did you think about what's kept you here?
Well, now in the last number of years, it's community. I can be, and I'm sure this experience is familiar to many people, but I can be walking in any neighborhood in Vancouver proper. I could be on Fraser or Commercial Drive or downtown, Yale Town, Gastown, wherever kids want. And I'll run into people I know.
Yeah.
All around town. And I love that. I love the feeling of community. I think it's very, very important to our social and spiritual health, which is something that theater actually provides.
I'm jumping here amongst the four pieces. The Thin Veneer, Kevin Loring. It's his response to the riots of the spring.
Yes, it is. Kevin Loring is a Governor General Award-winning First Nations playwright. He wrote Where the Blood Mixes, and he's a wonderful writer and actor. And he's a hockey fan, and he was inspired to create an artistic response to the riots. Largely, he was provoked by, you remember in the media, this kind of idea or this idea that was floated out there that, these weren't real Vancouverites or this wasn't us or that sort of thing. And in his response, if it wasn't us, then who was it? I mean, so he wrote a beautiful piece, stylistic piece. It's a piece for four voices. There's a police officer, a young woman who actually maybe took something from one of the stores, you know, people were walking by, and they were inspired by true stories, an immigrant, a woman, the police officer, a woman, an immigrant, and just a guy, a hockey fan.
Yeah.
And these four voices, kind of, it's like almost like music, and they're lines intersect and their stories kind of move along and like a helix kind of cross over and intersect, but it's a very musical piece and very moving and very, I think it's very profound. It's a wonderful artistic response to that incident.
It doesn't seem like the riots were that long ago. I mean, it's about, what, 4 months, 3 months or so? Yet it seems like it's also been a long time since then because we've sort of patched everything up and moved on. Not necessarily in terms of charging people, but that's another story. What is it about using, I guess, theater or using art to talk about something that happened in real life? I guess there's something in something that the playwright does that perhaps the columnist in the paper may not be able to sort of touch or talk about even.
Well, they're physical. Theater is always about people, unlike other fine arts. I mean, it seems obvious, but unlike other fine arts, like painting, for example, you might paint a picture of a beautiful sunset or, you know, a landscape of some kind or an expressionistic piece with the shapes and whatnot. Theater is always about people, and it's always, way back in its, origins, it was to bring people together to examine issues of the day and politics and challenges. And they were represented by people we recognize. The voices were represented by characters that we recognize, and so we sit there and we have this interaction with this demonstration or this fictionalized story, and we share the same room, we share the same air, we listen, we see ourselves, and we can hear and feel the people around us reacting to what's on stage and what's presented to them as well. So it's a very visceral experience. In a sad story, I was at a show at the Arts Club a couple of days ago, and everybody around me was sniffling, and you know, they were tears, right? And you feel connected in a way. Now this play, Kevin's play, it doesn't take sides. It doesn't pretend to give answers. It doesn't favor one person over another. It just it presents the situation and asks questions, and I think art does that. And that's one of the invaluable things about art is that it asks, poses questions rather than, you know, supplying answers. And those questions we hopefully take away and we discuss after the event.
Dennis Foon, his piece is called The Deadline. What's that about?
Dennis is a multi-award winning playwright, started Green, one of the founders of Green Thumb. His TY Theater for Young Audiences plays are produced all over the world in different languages. And Dennis also was a movie that he wrote the screenplay for, Life Above All, based on Alan Stratton's novel. Won Cannes Film Festival Prize in 2010 and kind of shortlisted for the Academy Award for I believe it was like a documentary style, or foreign language film, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And Dennis, he does tackle a lot of serious topics in his work, but he wanted to write a play about that kind of, in his words, trivializes death. So he's set his story in a future Vancouver, where sea levels have risen, and there are dikes around the city, and there are people living in zeppelins in floating condos that are still leaking. I haven't figured out how to fix that problem.
Yeah.
It's called the deadline because somebody has invented a kind of a communication device that allows us to speak with the dearly departed. It's kind of like a telephone line to the departed. And our main character, Corey, has come down with red tide virus, and his prognosis is not good. So he has X amount of time to live, and he calls people, his family, to find out, well, how does it work? How should I prepare? What's it about over there on the other side? And it's really a comedy about this character and the people that he knows, his mother, his great-grandfather, his ex-wife, and these people that he contacts. It's light, and he also calls his dog, for example. It's light and fun and set in the future of Vancouver.
And then Michelle Rimmel and Michael St. John Smith's piece, I think I've had Michelle on the program before. It's called The Bridge. It's about, I guess it takes place on the Iron Workers Memorial Bridge, we still call it the Second Narrows, right?
Yeah, Second Narrows or the Iron Workers Memorial, Second Narrows Crossing, I believe, is the complete title. It was back June 17th, 1958, and there was a little engineering flaw. One of the structures that was supporting, it was a temporary structure supporting one of the spans of the bridge, wasn't rated properly. The engineers missed by, they didn't have computers and et cetera, all that work was done by an individual, and something was off, and it couldn't bear the weight of one of the spans, and the span collapsed, and one of the spans behind it collapsed, and a number of people, 69 people, I believe, were thrown off the bridge into the water, and 18 of them drowned in the water. They were tied, they were wearing heavy tool belts, mm-hmm. Et cetera, and so these workers, it was a major disaster, and these people were thrown into the Second Narrows, and the bridge collapsed, and fishermen and boats came out to rescue them and whatnot. So Michelle and Michael have written this wonderful piece about four characters. There's a man who actually worked named Frank, who actually was an iron worker and worked on that bridge and was involved in the accident at the time. He goes back to the bridge on the anniversary of the accident to kind of think about his life. He's now 75 years old, and he's thinking about his life. So he climbs over the edge of the railing and sits there, and somebody calls the police and says there's somebody over the edge of the railing. So a police officer comes and talks to him, and they think he might be considering suicide. and so they close the bridge. So the other two characters are just a couple on their way from North Vancouver into Vancouver to have a potluck dinner with some friends of theirs, and they're stuck on the bridge. And so we have a snippet of their lives in the car, and this man Frank and this Vancouver Police Department female police officer who's talking with him. And those two stories kind of have parallels and echoes that run together about relationships, marriage, and life, really. And it's a wonderful piece as well.
Will we cry watching Visions of Vancouver like we did at Next to Normal, perhaps?
That is the one I was referring to. I you might shed a tear.
Yeah.
I think the audience will laugh as well. There are lots of, The Deadline is a comedy, but there are some moments which I think are very touching. But overall, I believe that's again why I like the short form so much. You move from one place to another and visit these little worlds and points of view, people living in the city, quite different scenarios, etc. And yet, they all make up a kind of shared experience. So it's something I believe that the audience will feel a part of. They'll leave going, "Yeah, I know that, and I know this, and I've seen that, or I've thought about that," and I'm hoping that the emotional experience covers the full range.
As a person who put this together, you mentioned earlier that art poses questions. As the guy who commissioned these pieces and who's directing the play, do you think you understand the city any better?
Do I understand the city? Well, yes, you know, I think more deeply about the areas that we've focused on. I certainly, I was in the North Vancouver archives reading about the Second Narrows situation and looking at very first-hand information and stories and newspaper clippings of the day, that sort of thing. So on that level, certainly. But in terms of the Stanley Cup situation, I think it gives me a very, very broad picture. I don't know. Yes, I feel it's just taken me one level deeper into this idea of place and where I am and what's around, what I'm a part of, I think. We're all a part of this place, and we do contribute to what it is. You know, what is Vancouver? You know, certain cities around the world have these kinds of branded trademarks, like New York, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a brand of sorts, and New Yorkers, you hear about being very proud. I'm a New Yorker. Well, what is that? Well, it's no different than, in a certain sort of way, of being a Vancouverite or a San Franciscan or whatever. We share and we contribute and we build, and it's important to, I think, reflect each other and kind of just have little looks at our lives here in town now and then. I feel a little bit deeper, a little bit more a part of the city, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the show. Richard, break a leg.
Well, thanks very much for your interest, Joseph. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The website's for more, pythetre.com, and then tickets, of course, at vancouvertix.com. You can go to the Arts Club's box offices at Granville Island, also at the Stanley on Granville there, in, I guess Granville 12. You can get tickets there. The play is called Visions of Vancouver. It's directed by Richard Wolff, who's on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.